Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Boston is home to one of the country's first great public libraries, the Boston Public Library, of course. Founded in the middle of the 19th century, it is free to all, offering a public space and access to a world of books and ideas.
For generations, Americans have embraced public libraries as essential civic institutions. But now, in the age of Google, Wikipedia, Amazon, Kindle, traditional libraries face an existential quandary. With so much information so easily accessible, who needs libraries and their musty stacks of books?
We all do, according to John Palfrey, who says in the digital age, libraries are more important than ever. He argues they provide essential public spaces to everyone, including the most vulnerable in our society, where they can access information, think, write, and learn. Without libraries, he says, the gap between the information haves and have-nots will widen, threatening our civic culture and democracy.
Palfrey says it's time to reinvest in public libraries and to pursue a new strategy that will allow them to shape rather than just react to the digital revolution. John Palfrey is the head of school at Phillips Academy in Andover and a director of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. His new book is called Bibliotech: Why Libraries Matter More Than Ever in the Age of Google. And he's with us now. And John Palfrey, it's a great pleasure to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony.
And listeners, we want to encourage you to join this conversation. It's going to be a good one. We're talking about the future of public libraries in the digital age. What's their role? Do we still need them? How do we bring them up to date so that they can help lead the digital revolution? What do you think? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And John, I'd love to just start with your view in general before we get to sort of what has to happen to make libraries, to bring libraries into the digital age. You call them great equalizers in our society, and you say that libraries are essential for maintaining a strong democracy. Why?
I think libraries have played a huge role in our culture, and starting right here in Boston, we have a ton to be proud of with the Boston Public Library, and actually before that, the Athenaeum in Boston. We have an amazing tradition here, and they are just cornerstone institutions, I think, for a democracy. They're a place where anyone can go to get information, to get knowledge, to participate, really, in civic life free of charge. And I think in a digital age, that physical space, those physical objects, all of those things matter just as much, if not more, than in the past.
Well, why if not more? Because it sounds counterintuitive. We set this idea up in the introduction with so much information available, you know, at the tips of your fingers, whether you're sitting in your living room or sitting in bed or sitting at work. Why do we need them still?
I think part of it is the extent to which our culture has been foreclosed in some ways, as there are fewer public spaces out there. And so I think literally having public spaces where people can come and come together around ideas and around knowledge in a city or in a town, I think that itself is very important. I fear a digital age in which the people who can afford to download anything they want, whenever they want on their Kindle, get what they need, and that others don't get that, where publishers decide they're not going to lend electronic materials to libraries for fear of theft or other things, where libraries actually can't do what they've done historically. So that's the more important than ever part. I also think that all of the information that's out there requires more curation. It requires more guides. It requires people who can help us find what we need, actually, and where it's not just about algorithms.
Interesting. So you mentioned a key word that I wanted to ask you about, and that is curation. And of course, the traditional library curates, it helps guide us, it helps point us to sources of information, books and knowledge. Is that role still needed more than ever today?
I truly think it is. And in some ways, this book I've written, Bibliotech, is a love letter to libraries and to librarians. I think that both the institutions and the people who work in them are incredibly important, and if not more so. And I think this is true in almost any field you think about, where, of course, you can do a Google search, you can find something, you can pinpoint something. But I actually think we need the serendipity of somebody helping you look on a stack of books and find something that you didn't think you needed, to have equivalent of having a radio producer figure out what show you should be listening to next. So I actually think there are many ways in which the personal role that librarians play is just as important in a digital age than it is in an analog age.
And I want to be really clear, because you make the point in this book really clearly. I mean, you know, when I started reading your book, you have a sort of wonderful description at a certain point. You use that word serendipity and what it's like to wander through the stacks, and you're going to look for one book and you find five other books. And so there's this wonderful process of discovery. But you're careful not to sort of talk about the traditional library in a nostalgic way. In fact, you say that would be a mistake.
I think there's a real mistake if what we do is cling to a nostalgia about libraries only, especially when the way in which young people are changing their information habits so quickly right now. So what I say to libraries in a way is, yes, you're as important as ever, if not more so, but you actually need to create a new nostalgia for this next generation, for all of us, and not to rely on too thin a reed, which is that old nostalgia. So I think it's important, but I also think it's time for libraries to pivot toward this digital environment.
And so what does that mean, pivoting toward this digital environment? Well, let me ask you, first of all, will your view of the sort of perfect library of today, or maybe of tomorrow, will it still have physical books?
Absolutely. And I should say, I'm a huge lover of the Boston Public Library. I love the Cambridge Public Library. We have some great examples right here in our metro area that are doing it, I think, exactly right, which is to combine the analog and the physical with the digital in a way that is true to librarians and libraries' history, but also brings in the new and interesting and sort of innovative approaches. One thing I fear is that over time, libraries won't do enough R&D. They won't do enough research and development. They may get eclipsed by the likes of Amazon and Google and others. And I think that's the thing that libraries as institutions have to figure out, which is, how do they not become obsolete and just become something that people love a memory of, but not the actuality of?
Yeah. And what's your biggest fear about leaving it to the Amazons and the Googles of the world? I mean, these are private companies that know all about how to put together the algorithms to do the research and bring information to our fingertips. What's wrong with leaving that in their hands?
They're very good at it. Amazon and Google are extremely good at what they do, and that's why they've become huge companies. And actually, I love them and use them all the time. But I think we need to maintain a public option. I think what's so great about what happened in 1850 when Boston launched the first major municipal public library in the world right here was there was something created for the public that meant that information and knowledge and books and now CDs and DVDs and everything else are free to all. And we really need that public option in a digital age. And it's not actually that easy to do it, especially when things that are like Amazon and Google float to the top of what everybody, particularly young people, but not exclusively, reach to first. Yeah. And so we need to have that public option in our society.
And you're concerned in particular, or the importance of having the public option is so that companies that are focused first and foremost on profit aren't the only folks sort of bringing us the information, right?
That's exactly right. And I absolutely see choice as being very important. If somebody wants to search on Amazon and get the recommendations and purchase it there, I should say I love independent bookstores, which are an important part of the mix. And of course, those are for profits too, and they play an important role in our communities. But I think if you consider the importance of the divides we have in our society, making sure that those don't get exacerbated, that's very important. But I also think somebody making choices, making recommendations, helping us learn, who don't actually have a profit motive at their core, I think that's so important. So in a way, it's an extent, libraries as an extension of schools, of other civic institutions, of honestly, public radio or institutions like this in journalism that actually have at their core informing and engaging a community. Libraries are a key part of that.
So what has to happen? You talk about a goal of reshaping public libraries and really making them leaders in R&D and a new strategy that will shape rather than merely react to the digital revolution. Where does that begin? I mean, how do libraries have to do this?
I think it begins in libraries. I actually think there's plenty of talent within libraries. There are also, in the United States, more than 100,000 libraries and probably on the order of 350,000 librarians. So I think actually the people and the institutions are there. I think it's about pivoting towards new kinds of activities in some communities. I think it's toward investing in new ways of finding information. I would love to see libraries more prominent, for instance, in a Google search. So if somebody were to look for something, that to see a library result higher up in the search results. I think there are many ways in which libraries can kind of get themselves into harm's way more, but it does require a commitment to saying the digital environment, the digital interface is as important as walking in a door. And I think that's actually what's tricky for libraries to do. They sort of have to do both right now, and they don't have more money.
I see. And in fact, and this gets to another sort of set of questions that I want to ask you about. To make this all possible, you talk about the need of a capital infusion to support innovation, development of a common digital platform, training of library staff. And you say that the infusion of capital needs to be a sort of public-private partnership. So how would that work?
I do. I think that at its absolute core, libraries should be supported by public funds. So I think mostly municipalities pay for public libraries, cities and towns. I think states need to do it. I think the federal government needs to do it. But as we know, many of those federal funds have faded away. So I think that keeping the doors open in libraries should be the role of public funds. But in the meantime, I think we need people to step up and say these libraries are so valuable and they need to be able to make the transition that people like Joshua Bates, who was the guy in 1852 who gave the money for Boston Public Library, like Andrew Carnegie, who funded libraries in 1,600 communities around the country. These kinds of people who have been so supportive of libraries need to step up again. And that is foundations, but it's all of us, I think, as citizens, to help librarians make this transition. I do think it should ultimately be funded mostly by public funds, though.
Listeners, we're talking about the future of public libraries in the digital age. We're listening to John Palfrey. He's the author of Bibliotech, Why Libraries Matter More Than Ever in the Age of Google. You can join the conversation at 1-800-423-8255. And John, let's go to Ariel, who's calling from Worcester. Ariel, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. First of all, great conversation. I'm a school librarian in a vocational high school in Franklin, and I believe that not just because I'm a librarian, but I believe that libraries are very important. They have much more than just access to resource. They, as your guest said, they engage in many programs, engage people, give them the resources they need. Anyone can go and search for something on the internet, but librarians actually help people find what it is they need. They ask critical questions and help people explore what it is they need to do. If you eliminate libraries, you're eliminating much more than just the resources that are there. It's libraries engage with the public.
Ariel, thanks so much for putting that idea on the table. And John, listening to Ariel there, I mean, I'm impressed by the way he describes the role of the librarian and how important that is. And I know you're a big fan of that. What has to happen to, I don't know, bring the profession of becoming a librarian into the digital age? How do we do that?
Well, I think, Ariel, start to finish, you've made a great comment, and exactly the kinds of different roles that librarians bring need to actually become more understood by the public. And I actually think more librarians need to think about their role as directly serving communities rather than sort of amassing collections. And I think the vast majority of librarians have made that transition. One thing I'd want to underscore from Ariel's point is, as a school librarian, actually the bulk of libraries in the United States, more than 100,000 of them, are school libraries. And one of the things where the data is really clear is that schools that have good libraries have better results for student outcomes. And I don't want to say it's causal necessarily, but there's a very strong correlation there. So institutions that have been cutting back on school libraries as they're growing the amount of testing they're doing and other kinds of services, I think are making a huge mistake. I think investing more in school librarians and actually thinking about how they're related to classroom teaching, how they're related to meeting the needs of their kids, whether it's Common Core or otherwise, is actually a really, really important part of the pivot that Ariel's also describing.
It's interesting to hear you talk about school libraries because it seems to me that this is a really easy way for schools to cut, especially as they push more and more research and homework and student work onto online and into the online world. Mike, I don't know what the numbers are. As a head of school, you would know this better than me, but I have to imagine that fewer and fewer kids are going to libraries.
Actually, it's the opposite.
Well,
and
that's good
quite
to hear.
Wonderful, actually. Yeah, the foot traffic going into libraries is not going down. It's actually in many places going up.
Now, what explains that? Because we have this idea that everybody is online and on their smartphones and on their iPads and so on and so forth.
Everybody is on those things. But part of the contradiction is that often by going online and being engaged in digital things and reading online, you actually read more physical books in some cases. With kids, I think part of the reason that kids are such great library users is that they're directed there. They're often directed there as part of school. And this was part of that argument you were citing at the beginning, which was about the haves and have-nots, which is for many kids, if they are given an assignment where they have to go online to look something up or create something online and they don't actually have good broadband at home, the place they go is the library. And if you cut library hours so that they spill into libraries after school, then they go over to Starbucks or to McDonald's or other places that have free Wi-Fi. And this is something we see all the time. It's a great case for libraries staying open later and being that important public public and third place for young people.
So where's the library? I mean, just describe your favorite library that is doing this just right today, that sort of represents this hybrid of those old stacks, but is really with it in terms of, you know, accessing the digital information as well.
I've seen so many awesome libraries in the course of writing this book that I resist saying only one, but I would say Boston Public and Cambridge Public are right at the top of that list. I think the renovation that Boston Public Library has just gone through is a really great example of thinking through how the physical space ought to be transformed for the public. That new entrance that's going to be on Boylston Street, designed by William Rahn and Associates, is really, I think, going to be transformative. They also have within Boston Public Library the Digital Commonwealth, a place where the digitization of Massachusetts records and cultural history and so forth is actually happening. And people like Tom Blake at Boston Public Library drive out into the 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts to digitize our records and then make them available. And the other thing they're hosting is a national project called the Digital Public Library of America. And the DPLA is a place where all of those state repositories and big institutions like Harvard and New York Public and others are actually digitizing their materials to share them with the public. So I actually think Boston Public right here is a great example of that.
You have some sort of great examples as well of some of the what the new technology is doing. And we were talking about the serendipity of wandering through an old stack of books. And you described this wonderful thing from the Harvard Innovation Lab, which created a virtual browsing engine called StackView. What is StackView?
Well, it's a wonderful idea. And the basic notion is that if you have just one stack in a library, you can only see the books that are there. And as we talked about before, it's so great to have that, and it's a wonderful experience. But if you think about even at Harvard University, where there's 73 different libraries and a depository that's 25 miles off-site, there's actually not one stack. So if you create a virtual stack that has all of those books, you actually can see something better in the virtual world than you can see in the analog. And then you could sort it based on all sorts of different things. So how many professors checked out this book, or how many of my friends checked out another book? You can also see what people are interested in and whether or not professors are more likely actually to check out DVDs than books. In any event, you can create things that actually make more useful versions of information than you have in the analog world. And that's where the excitement comes from, is being able to create this new nostalgia through new projects like the one at the Harvard Library Innovation Lab.
Let's get a couple more callers on the air. Michelle is calling from New Canaan, Connecticut. Michelle, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me. I want to add on to, as a school librarian here in New Canaan, Connecticut, we have a number of roles, and I think of myself as an educator first and a librarian second. And one of the things that we struggle with a lot is there are a lot of assumptions about adolescents today and their understanding and navigation of digital media that really is, to a great extent, actually false. So we have an instructional role that's unique to just this generation that we have now in schools, because we have transitioning kids. So we have the students we have as freshmen today are very different from our seniors today, and that's going to continue to evolve over time. So there has to be some kind of an adjustment that we as librarians make to be able to deliver the instruction that we need and to be able to teach the kids the way we want to teach them, so that they can really get at the skills that they need and somehow be able to transform format and transcend format in order to move forward.
Michelle, thanks so much for that comment. John Palfrey, what do you think?
Michelle, I think you get it exactly right. And the chapter in this book, Bibliotech, in which I talk about learners, I really start exactly where you do, which is to say there's an enormous role for school librarians and other librarians to be educators first and librarians second, ultimately. And the reason I think it's so important is this idea of new media literacies, the idea that kids are learning in different ways. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But librarians are often the people who are best trained in an institution like a school to do that. At my school at Andover, we have something called the Oliver Wendell Holmes Library, and the people who are there are amazing resources to each of us who are classroom teachers, but also in their own right, to teach kids how to sort credible from not credible information, but also how to perform certain tasks that I think can be taught as effectively, if not more so, in a library setting than in a classroom.
Michelle, thanks so much for that call. Let's go to Bob, who's calling from Lunenburg. Bob, you're on the air with John Palfrey.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to comment about interlibrary loan. You mentioned moving libraries into the digital age, and you can request print books online, and you have access to hundreds of libraries now, and I do that all the time.
Yeah, John, this is you write about this. I mean, I think it's related to what you write about, and that is essentially libraries in the digital age are connected to each other in all kinds of ways that make them ever more powerful.
Ever more powerful and actually ever more effective at their work. And Interlibrary Loan, Bob, is a great example of how libraries are already a network in a really powerful way, so that it doesn't matter that you don't actually have it physically, you can get it. One of my fears, though, and part of what I write about in this book, is Interlibrary Loan might be actually harder in a digital era than in a physical era, in a perverse way. So if a library gets a book as a by contract, by a license, basically, from a publisher, and the license might say, you may not lend this in a consortium to somebody who's in the next town over, you need to lend it only to your patrons. That's something that they can do by a contract, but you can't do with physical books. But once you buy a physical book, under the copyright law, a library can do what it wants with it in this way. So part of the argument I'm making is, as we make this transition to a predominantly digital world, let's make sure that things like interlibrary loan can persist. And right now, the law is actually not that helpful in that respect.
Hmm. John Palfrey, are you overall, I know you see and you've talked just now on this program about great examples of success, but overall, are you confident? Are you optimistic about the state of libraries across this country, and that they're going to be here in a useful form a generation from now?
I'm hugely bullish on the future of libraries, in part because there's such exciting people working in libraries, and there are many people, those of us outside libraries, who love them so much. I guess what I worry slightly about, though, is that the public perception is not always of libraries in the way that we should see them. And partly the book is about kind of a call to say, let's support libraries during this transition. Let's realize the many ways in which they're so crucial. One of the little anecdotes I give in the book is when I became a library director at Harvard Law School, I would go to a cocktail party or a backyard barbecue, and somebody would say, oh, how nice, you're starting to work at a library. You're the digital guy. You're just going to get rid of it, right? Now that we have Google, we don't need libraries anymore. And I thought this was such an unfortunate way that people often see this transition to the digital era. And I would say, no, actually, what we need to do is make them stronger during this period.
Well, I'm going to read the very last line of your book, because it just seems to sum up everything that you've been talking about really well. Libraries matter too much to democracy for us to fail at this task. So that's John Palfrey. He's head of school at Phillips Academy in Andover and a director of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. His new book is Bibliotech, Why Libraries Matter More Than Ever in the Age of Google. And he'll be speaking about it at the Harvard Bookstore this Thursday and at the Boston Athenaeum next Wednesday. There's more information at radioboston.org. John Palfrey, thank you so much.
Thank you, Radio Boston.
It's good to have you. Stay with us. Coming up, we'll sit down with the man chosen to succeed Malcolm Rogers as the next director of the MFA. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.